A number of years ago, when I was first ordained, I got to the honor of serving at a relatively new church. It was a church that was still meeting in a school. It was just five years old at the time. It was a church that was filled with people who might have been away from the church for a while or maybe never been to church. And so the questions and things that would come up were often different. And so I remember one time we were sitting in a committee and we were talking about stuff, and one of the questions, we were talking about worship and different things like that. One of the questions was, do we have to listen to all these negative scriptures? It's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? It's easy to look back and think, oh, of course, you know, what a silly question or something like that. But it really wasn't a silly question. Because in some ways, if we think about how we go about our life, we don't really like to deal with our bad stuff. We might have delusions about ourselves. We might tell only the good things. You know, the people who study things say that people who put stuff out on the internet, on Facebook and things like that, they only put the good things. And it's having a psychological impact on the rest of us because we think everybody else's life is so much more fabulous than ours. All their vacations are perfect. All their households are perfect. Every day is a good day. You know, we don't think about that. I'm as guilty of that as anybody. But sometimes when we hear these sort of negative scriptures, we might say, well, how is that inspiring? So we have this passage from Jeremiah today that just seems really disheartening. You know, things are so bad. Things are not only bad, they're really bad. And things are so bad, and you're really bad, and you're going to hell for sure. Which if you read any of Jeremiah, you're going to find out that's what Jeremiah says pretty much all the time. Because Jeremiah is a prophet, and a prophet is not someone who tells the future in the Bible. A prophet is someone who tells the truth. And in Jeremiah's time, Israel was not following God's way. Israel was filled with corruption. There was it was a bad time, and Jeremiah is saying, you've got to get it right. You in Jerusalem, in the city, at the center of our culture, have got to get it right. And so do we need to hear the negative scriptures? Probably. The funny thing was, in that same conversation, we were designing and thinking about the new sanctuary that was going to be built. And one of the questions that came up was, do we need a cross in the church? And is that a good idea? And it was a legitimate question. You might think for yourself for a minute, what? I remember as a new priest thinking, what? We had a 2-hour conversation. Because we didn't know if people who were coming in who'd not been exposed to our church or might be people from the community, if it was a good idea to put such an offensive symbol to them. And we kept talking about it, and then we kind of came to the conclusion that really, it was probably a good idea to put a cross in the church because we were a church. But it was a really good series of questions to say, why do we have a cross in the church anyway? To remind us of what Jesus did for us, to remind us of the sacrifice that happened, to remind us of resurrection, to remind us of how our sin is put away. All these things that we often take as assumptions were questioned. So hang on to those thoughts about negativity and the cross. I had sort of a mind-blowing thing happen this week. I was listening to a show talking about perception. So I was listening to a radio broadcast about how people perceive things, which then led to me reading a bunch of stuff about this. But sometimes we don't always realize how we think. We think a lot about the past. We worry a lot about the future. And we live in something called the present, right? And we don't think about this, but if you were to pick up Hebrew as your main language, you would find it frustrating. Because Hebrew only has present and past tense. You cannot write a sentence, say, I'm going to the store tomorrow. You cannot think of a way, it does not work grammatically to tell about the future. English is a language that talks a lot about the future and thinks about what's ahead. And there's people who study this kind of stuff and how our language can sort of influence who we are. And so here's the story that I heard. It was about a beach. So imagine for a minute, just to get in your head, I know we live in Kansas, you know. You've been or you've seen videos. So imagine a beach where the sand and the ocean meet. When you look at that, you see the sand, and you see the water coming in and going out, and coming in and going out. And if you imagine that for a moment, it seems as if there's something between the water and the sand. It seems that there's something called a beach that exists. It seems as if that is something that there's lots of different pieces to you. And then this social psychologist said, you know, really there's nothing in between the two. There's just sand and there's just water. The rest is what we perceive. And he goes on, and this is the mind-blowing piece. He says, the present and the future are like that. Really, there is no present. You know, when we think about it, we are either telling stories of what happened, or in the moment that we're living, we're really dealing with what just happened a few minutes ago. Like, everything I've said now is in the past, you know. At the same time, we're thinking about the future. And he says, there is no present. There is no present. So where am I? Do I have, what, you know? You start thinking and you start thinking about that. Don't think too hard about it because you're going to get lost in it, I'm telling you. I am thinking about I just said that, so that was in the past, but I'm thinking about saying, so that's in the future. So how can I get sand, water, nothing? Okay, got it. And sometimes, you know, maybe we don't think about that in that way, but really, how do we go about thinking about our life and what we do? And you might be saying, what does this have to do with the gospel? But let me take you into it for a minute. There's a shrewd manager. That's how it's titled in the scriptures. And he's going to get fired. Now, this isn't like how people are let go today. You know, the boss doesn't come in and say, you can't be my manager anymore. Two security guards come. You are escorted out. And you get to come back a week later and get your things out of the desk. For some reason, he's still got charge over what he's in charge of. And he suddenly realizes, I messed up my past. I can't dig. I can't really beg. That's not in me. And I better make sure I'm right with my neighbors, so they're going to take me into their house. He says, I've got it. You owe 100, make it 50. You owe 80, make it 60. You owe this, make it that. And then his boss comes back and says, clever you. You got my debt settled. Now, I said this to another service, and they kind of glazed over, but this is biblical justification for bill collectors. You know, if you owe them 1,000, you can't pay it, they offer you 800, right? I'm just kidding. It didn't go over well last time. I'm going to lose that. Stephen, write it down, you know. Don't tell that joke again. So we're in that past and in that future. And the shrewd manager, when the reality begins to shift, suddenly becomes sharpened in the focus. And what's the focus but on things that are lasting, relationship? He realizes that for some sense of security, the relationships he has with the people around him become the primary focus and not the things that don't really matter. And Jesus goes on to say, you who have charge of a little bit need to pay attention. You who have charge of a little bit might be rewarded for your careful care. You who are in charge of a lot and fail might not. You who might have someone else's possessions to be in charge of, be faithful, be shrewd. Make means of this. Be careful. Focus on the right things. Those things that are eternal. For that is your salvation. We don't really like to talk about the negative in our life. We don't really like to talk about how we've failed, how things maybe we haven't lived up to our potential, how we haven't been careful with the things we've been given. And so often we're looking backwards and not thinking of the things eternal. It's a good question to think about in terms of how we go about our spiritual life. How are we living in the current moment? How are we living in the time that's right here? How are we focusing on the right things. I don't have all the answers of how to get to that point, but I think this is what Jesus, even Jeremiah, even the other scriptures are calling us to, is to focus on the things that are eternal. If we're too busy, if we're too caught up, if we're unable to get out of what has already happened that we can't really change, and we have relationship before us, we have our relationship with God, with our neighbor, with those that we love, and we can't see that, then we've lost. The scripture ends with, you can't serve two masters, money or God. And in some ways, what Jesus is talking about is not our stewardship, not our, are you going to give enough money to the budget of the church? It's not what Jesus is talking about. What God is talking about is, what is driving you in your life? And why do we need the cross in the church? We need the cross in the church so that we are drawn to the things that are eternal. To know that our sins are forgiven. To know that we have reconciliation, that that's possible with our neighbors, with our loved ones, with our family. To know that we are called to higher purpose and higher meaning. To be reminded of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That calls us into the moment and asks us the question, who are we serving? Where is our purpose? We never know the rest of the story, right? What was it like for that shrewd manager? What was it like when he got focused on different things, on relationship? How did his life change? Maybe that's the question before us. Maybe we have things in our life that we're too focused on. Maybe we're too caught up in the past or we're too worried about the future. Maybe we don't quite know how to deal with this weird thing called the present. Maybe we're afraid to deal with negatives. Maybe we're afraid of the cross. Or maybe we're called to ask that question about who we're serving. So what's your focus? Amen.